You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Brian Wolfmuller.
What
you guys got to remember, I'm the co-host here again. I'm a guest.
I'll put that in the notes so Andy remembers to pause.
Refuse to be a guest. I'm third co-host. I'm third wheel here.
No guest. What is joy? We're going to have some joy today,
right? We're already having joy.
But can it be serious? Can joy be serious? I think Pastor Wolfmuller said something about this in another program here at KFU. I think it was Sharper Iron.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned serious joy. So we're going to chat with him about serious joy in just a moment.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Chicago. You can learn more about Concordia University Chicago by visiting cuchicago.edu.
Joining us today, our third co-host, the Reverend Brian Wolfmuller. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church and Jesus Deaf Lutheran Church in Austin, Texas. Pastor Wolfmuller, welcome back.
Thank you. Always great to be with you guys.
It was in real time. We visited just a few weeks ago, almost a month ago at convention, but that didn't air until recently. So it sounds like it was just a couple of days ago, last week when we talked with you.
Kind of feels like it, though.
Yeah, it does. But it's always nice, though, when we get
the convention vortex. Like, right. Where am I? What's happening?
That's a real thing, though.
What day is it? So this was, I think, earlier this year, or maybe last year sometime, I think it was an episode of Sharper Iron, you were chatting with Pastor Apple, and the subject of serious joy came up. And I said, like Sarah often says, that sounds like a fun topic for the coffee hour.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
So we handed this over to our wonderful intern, Kalia, and said, take this topic, run with it, reach out to Pastor Wolfmuller, and let's do a few episodes on serious joy. So here we are, ready to talk about joy.
That's great.
What is joy?
I want to know first, do you think Pastor Apple and Sharper Iron is like, that's like your competition, you know? It's like, look, we got to blow him out of the water. I mean, what is he doing there? This Bible study, he's got all these goofball pastors. No. We want to be the anchor here on KFUO, the coffee hour.
This is not the first time that a random coffee hour has happened from an episode of Sharper Iron, though, because those...
It's where we get our good stories,
those episodes, man, are so good, and a pastor just randomly says something off the cuff, and then while we're listening, we're like, hey, let's talk more about that.
Well, and
I don't know if I have a favorite show to be on, if it's the coffee hour or Sharper Iron, I tell you guys, it's the coffee hour.
I'll take it.
Well, I
tell Pastor Apple that too, that I said that.
I will.
He'll,
yes,
know.
Pastor Apple, just so you know, Pastor Wolfmuller prefers being on the coffee hour.
You can tell him, hey, I turned him down for September and I'm doing three episodes with you guys. That's how much I love it. I just want to rub it in. Okay. So on this idea of serious joy, here is the thing that we want to kind of get after, because we have a mistake. And when I say we, I think everybody, but I think Lutherans might be especially prone to this mistake, is that we think that we want to show our seriousness by our grumpiness. Mm-hmm. And I think we learned this from the politics, that basically, like, look, if you're serious about a political position or a political candidate, it ends up resulting in anger. So I can show, if when I get angry about something, I'm showing you how serious I am about it. And that rubs off on everybody, but I think especially the Christians and maybe even the Lutherans too, where we think, look, if I want to prove to you how intensely I hold this position or how intensely I hold this view, especially here we have our theology about the most important things about God and man and salvation and everything, I can show you how serious I am by how angry or grumpy I am about it. And if someone is joyful, then we automatically then think, well, they're not serious about it. And so that's really the thing that we have to go after. And it's almost as this simple as to say, look, we have to question this assumption that joy and responsibility, that seriousness and happiness are opposite of one another. We want to understand the biblical idea that they're equated. That the more serious we are about knowing and confessing the truth of the scripture, the more it results in a joyful countenance, in a joyful heart. And that's a really transformative idea. It is for my own life. I think it is for the whole church.
What is joyful heart. What does that mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we have a sense of it, right? Because it's not so much as a confession. Like joy is a maybe. Let me set it up like this. Luther, in his introduction to the Book of Psalms, Luther wrote a introduction to the books of the Bible, and he didn't do all the books. I don't know why. He just is like, you don't need the introduction. But he wrote a beautiful introduction to the Book of Psalms. And he talks about one of the reasons why the Psalms are so comforting is because they discuss the condition of the human heart, all the different conditions of the human heart. He says the human heart is like a ship that sails on four different seas. And the four different seas are divided this way. You have the now and the not yet. So the now and the future. And then you have the good and the bad. It's like it's a quadrant. It's a 2x2 matrix. And the now bad is sorrow. The not yet bad, the future bad, is fear. And the now good is joy. And the not yet good is hope. It's a beautiful little 2x2. And he basically says, look, these are the four major conditions of the human heart, is that we're living in the good times now. That's joy. We're worried about the future. That's fear. We're hopeful about the future. We look for a good future. That's hope. And we're in the midst of trouble. That's right now. That's sorrow. And so the heart is like this ship that's just tossed by the storms of life and is sailing in these four different seas. But joy is that recognition of the heart that things are good. Now, it doesn't ignore that some things are bad. But it's able to recognize that, for example, things with me and God are good. And in fact, as those good things take precedence in our heart, as the good gifts of God climb the priority of our heart, then that list of things that matter starts with all of these good things, that I am created by God, that Jesus is my brother and my savior, that I have the promise of eternal life, that all my sins are put away, that the Lord has poured out his love on me, and that nothing can separate me from that love. As those good things that God has given become the priority in my heart, now my heart is filled with joy. That doesn't mean there's also not bad things on the list, but those bad things are so much farther down the list than the good things. And so maybe we can just define it that way, is that the joy is when the good gifts of God have priority on the top of our heart's priority list.
I appreciate the structure. I like the structure.
I love structure.
There's a bit of a visual to it. Maybe some more examples as we talk about these four quadrants of the heart and the sorrow, fear, joy, and hope. Maybe some examples, whether it's from your own life or other examples of what this looks like.
Well, it could be. So, bad things happen, mm-hmm. and that's according to the Lord's promise, not just his plan, but his promise. So Jesus says, in this world, you will have tribulation. And that tribulation takes a lot of forms. It takes physical form. I mean, sickness, dying, getting hit in the head by a softball. We got a list of, hunger, thirst, heat and cold, all these kind of physical afflictions we have. And then we have mental afflictions too. I mean, there's things that we just can't figure out. There's things that are hard to sort out, so that we have also mental pain. We have pain in our relationships. And this is a particularly important thing for us to be thinking about. There's just people that are lonely, and that loneliness is a true affliction. And then we have the spiritual pain, which comes from recognizing that things are not right. I mean, they're not right. They're not right by me. I do wrong things. I wrong and harm and hurt other people. I violate God's law. But they're also, now I'm also wronged. I'm not only a sinner, but I'm sinned against. So there's these four deep groans of the human condition. There's the belly groan, the groan of the physical existence. There's the groan of the conscience that's telling me that things aren't right. There's the groan of, I need a better word for this. There's a groan of community, that loneliness or those broken relationships. There's a groaning that's there. There's a mental groaning, a straining. Paul says all creation is groaning, waiting for the redemption. And we participate in that deep groan. Ah! And so this is kind of part of our human experience, is that we have all of these pains and we're trying to make them go away. I mean, by, you know, you eat so that you stop your stomach from groaning. I mean, that's kind of the picture of life, is we have all these different groans that we're trying to silence. But we have that promise from Jesus that in this world, you're going to have tribulation. The world, the flesh, and the devil, they're all after us. We have this stuff. So the question is that going to be the thing that defines us? Are we going to be defined by these groans of life? Jesus says, this is the next half of this verse, which is absolutely beautiful. It says, in this world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. So that Jesus, that Jesus has overcome the world, and that he has overcome the world not by like beating it down with a sword or gathering an army to conquer it, but that he has overcome the world by dying on the cross to be our savior means that we can be of good cheer. You could say be joyful. You could even say be happy, because you know, all the theologians and all the pastors, they're fine if you talk about joy as long as you don't talk about happiness. And they're always busy about, I know this is a topic for a future conversation, but they always will say, look, joy is different than happiness. And what they're saying is, I can be joyful and you will never know it. That's just an excuse for grumpiness. I don't want to let them get away with it. Now, it's true that joy is different than happiness, because joy is letting the gifts of God take priority. Happiness is letting the gifts of this life take priority. So like, I'm happy because the internet connection is working and because it's not yet 110 degrees outside, and all these other things make me happy. It has nothing to do with the gifts of God. So those things are kind of temporal. Okay, fine. But I don't really want to let people get away with this joy is different than happiness, because they're saying, look, I can be joyful and grumpy at the same time. No, this joy shows up. Someone ought to be able to tell that you have joy. I got the joy down in my heart, so deep down there that no one will ever find it. No one's ever going to find out that I'm joyful. Try. Top secret. No, this is not the Christian joy. It's kind of shows up because Jesus has overcome the world. And that becomes a part of our spiritual warfare. There's all these great lines in Luther. He was so clear on this. He says, the devil hates Christian happiness. Because when we confess that in spite of the fact that we're the offscouring of the world, that in the world we have tribulation and trouble, that we get sick, that we die, that we suffer, that we're in the midst of all this groaning, and yet we have Jesus as Lord who sits on the throne, now what is the devil going to do? How is he going to get to you? How is he going to, it's like the seed, we talked about the seed that's planted in the rocks and the sun comes out and it beats it down. But if the seed is planted, has roots deep into the soil, the sun comes out, the same persecution happens, and the plants love it. They're like, whoa, I'm going to grow even taller. So the affliction that the devil brings to the Christian that's deeply rooted in the Word of God and rejoicing in the Lord in spite of trouble, the difficulty actually causes our joy to increase and expand until at last we have the great joy of death, which is the joy of eternal life, where we praise the Lord forever. I can't remember what question I was answering.
That's fine. We have to take a break anyway. So we'll come back for another question. We're talking about serious joy with the Reverend Brian Wolfmuller, and we'll have more right after we take a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Brian Wolfmuller.
I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago. I'm thrilled to announce the Prepared to Serve Church Professional Guarantee. Any new student in one of CUC's six church work programs will pay no more than $5,000 in annual tuition and required fees guaranteed. Prepared to Serve is a donor-funded initiative. Support future church work students by becoming a funding partner at cuchicago.edu/prepared-to-serve. Concordia University Chicago. With Christ at the center, we stand tall for the church.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Gilseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Brian Wolfmuller.
See, I waited for him this time.
Yeah.
We're talking about serious joy. And I really love this conversation. I love talking about joy and delight. And I think whimsy has a place in this conversation, too. Maybe we'll get to that at some point.
I'm against whimsy.
No, I love whimsy.
Yet he loves the coffee hour.
I know.
No, right? That's
old
right.
Whimsy on the coffee hour. I want to talk more about where we see scripture in scripture talking about joy. I know you mentioned Psalms. You've mentioned some words of Jesus. Where do we find joy? What joy looks like? What the Bible says about joy? Where we see Jesus being joyful?
Yes.
Where are those things in the Bible?
Yeah, I mean, top to bottom, the Bible is full of joy. Here's, you know, one of the chief, the epistle of joy is Philippians. And so over and over in Philippians, Paul is talking about the joy that he has in the Lord. The theme verse of Philippians probably is chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I'll say rejoice. I mean, he's not going to let you get away with it. And here, and it's so nice to think of joy in the context of Philippians, because remember the first time Paul was in Philippi and he got thrown into jail, and then the angel busted him out, sort of like opened the windows, opened the doors, broke the chains, but he didn't leave. He sat there with Silas and he was singing hymns. So that the jailer, who's about to kill himself, ends up being stopped by Paul because he didn't go anywhere. And then the jailer becomes a Christian. His whole family's baptized that same night. That's what an amazing story. Okay. But here's the problem is that, I don't know, 12 years later, Paul gets arrested and he has to spend 3 years in prison in Caesarea. And then he's transported to Rome and he's in prison in Rome for a couple of years. And I think his imprisonment becomes a big stumbling block, or it becomes an occasion for the false teachers in Philippi. So they come to the Judaizers. They're always like, it's not enough to have faith. You got to have faith plus. And so the Judaizers come into Philippi and they're like, yeah, Paul preached faith alone, but he is not a true apostle and we can prove it to you. Remember how when he was here, the Lord proved that he was his man by breaking him out of prison. But now he's been in prison for 5 years. So that the Lord has abandoned him. So they were using his imprisonment to undermine the preaching of the gospel. And Paul says, look, this is an occasion for the Lord's word to go forth. And you don't see me moping about it. Like I even when the Lord broke me out of prison, I didn't even leave. I, by the way, think of how the news would have gotten to Peter, like in Jerusalem. And someone says, Hey, Peter, remember how you were imprisoned? And he says, yeah. And he says, well, Paul got thrown in prison in Philippi. And then they say, and you remember how the angel broke you out of prison? And he's like, yeah. And they're like, the angel did the same thing for Paul in Philippi. And then they say, and you remember how you left and went home? Peter's like, yeah. He's like, well, Paul stayed there. Peter's like, oh, Paul, you know, he's always one-upping me. but Paul doesn't matter. In prison, out of prison, I belong to the Lord. And that does not take away my joy. In fact, Paul says to the Philippians that I've learned the secret of being content in all circumstances. And then he doesn't tell us what the secret is. Come on, Paul. But at least the secret, here's part of the secret, and maybe the whole secret, is that if he can be content and even joyful in all circumstances, that means that his joy, his contentment, is not dependent on the circumstances. So that the first mistake we make is by making our joy and contentment and our good cheer to be determined by the circumstances in which we find ourselves. That is an illegitimate connection. And so the first step of the mystery of joy, well, maybe the second step of the mystery of joy is to disconnect our joy from our circumstances. They do not depend on each other. So that Jesus says, you are of good cheer in the midst of tribulation. And this is the Bible's kind of constant call. It's so much more than Stoicism. Stoicism says that we endure suffering like with this kind of grit or something like that. But all of the apostles who write in the New Testament talk about having joy in the midst of difficult circumstances. So James, for example, this is how he starts his epistle. James chapter 1, verse 2. He says, brothers, count it all joy when you fall into diverse afflictions or different kinds of tribulations. That's an amazing thing that we are joyful in the midst of affliction. And Paul says the same thing in Romans chapter 5. Not only this, but we count it all joy when we fall. Oh, I have to look it up because I'm mixing it up with the James quote. But that not only do we have peace with God, but we have comfort and joy in our troubles. He says, not only that, this is Romans 5:3, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So that we're called to have this joy in the midst of all of our troubles. That sets us against the devil who wants to steal away this joy.
All right. We have about 4 minutes left in this conversation about serious joy. So if you were to sum it up, we're going to unpack some more in a few more episodes as well.
Yep.
So let's unpack then this idea, or I guess summarize this idea of serious joy.
Right. That's right. Well, let's first
serious joy. Yeah.
Yep. So let's think about this, that the Holy Spirit, who is at work in every single Christian, is producing fruit. And he tells us what those fruits are. There's a list of 9 things, but listen to how that list starts. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. So that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is in the Christian and is there pulling the Word of God through our ears into our hearts and planting it there so that it would bear fruit in our own lives, one of the ways that shows up is joy. So that our attentive, serious, careful, responsible Christian life is a life that's shaped by joy. And that joy does not depend on our circumstances. In fact, that Christian joy actually grows and flourishes in the midst of affliction, tribulation, trouble, persecution, people standing in the way, fighting against all these things, that joy actually increases. Because we know that the Lord is with us. We know that the Lord is for us. We know that our sins are forgiven. These deep groans that we have that define our Christian life, that define our human life, that the Lord is giving us all that we need, and that one day those will be silenced by the joy of the complete joy of the resurrection. So that we are pursuing joy, or maybe we could even say it like this. Because of the Word and the Spirit at work in us, joy is chasing after us. And joy is capturing us. It's capturing our hearts. It's capturing our imaginations. It's capturing our lives. And really the one thing that I want people to hear is that is okay. It is okay to be joyful. It's not like engaging in a unserious, thoughtless, oversimplistic, irresponsible Christian life. No, no, no. It's actually what it's supposed to look like.
We'll talk more about what that looks like
next
week. Our guest today, the Reverend Brian Wolf Miller, pastor.
Wait a minute, co-host.
Oh, yes. Oh, I'm sorry. our co-host today, the Reverend Brian Wolfmiller, St. Paul Lutheran Church and Jesus Deaf Lutheran Church in Austin, Texas, an expert on serious joy.
We're so serious.
So serious. Pastor Wolfmiller, thanks for joining us today.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, guys.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Brian Wolfmiller.
The Coffee Hour is a production of KFUO. This program and our station are dependent on listeners just like you. To support KFUO Radio, our podcast, and all the other programming, please make your gift or pledge today at kfuo.org/give and help us continue sharing the good news of Christ for you anytime, anywhere. kfuo.org/give.